In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen. Good morning. There's an old story about the Chicago Bears back in the 1980s when they were Super Bowl champs. And they had a special player on their team nicknamed the Refrigerator. They called him the Fridge for short. Maybe you remember him. But one day, the Fridge was asked to give the Lord's Prayer after one of their games in the locker room. And the coach, Coach Mike Ditka, approached the team chaplain and said, "I'll bet you $50 the Fridge doesn't know the Lord's Prayer." And the chaplain thought, well, that's kind of a strange bet, but okay. And so the Fridge stands up and everyone bows their heads and they close their eyes and he begins, "Now I lay me down to sleep." So the coach just shook his head and he reached into his pocket, took out a $50 bill, handed it to the chaplain and said, "I was sure he didn't know the Lord's Prayer." Well, today is Christ the King Sunday. And although we don't hear the Lord's Prayer in today's lectionary, we do hear a lot about kingdoms and kingship, reminding us that Jesus is not only our Savior, but he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, the word kingdom may not come up in our everyday conversations, but in the biblical sense, we all have a kingdom. Our kingdoms are those spaces or spheres in which we have ultimate authority. And we learn very early on to have these kingdoms. Now, I have a 3-year-old and 7-year-old son. And when they were probably around 2 years old, one of their favorite words was no. Their second favorite word, I imagine you can guess, was mine. Now that's kingdom language, isn't it? So they're telling me very early on, this is my sphere, this is my domain, that is your domain. And by the way, we've all heard of the terrible twos, but there's not really an expression for a 3-year-old, is there? However, I can tell you that a 3-year-old is just a terrible 2-year-old with 1 year of experience. So a kingdom is the range of our effective will. It's the space in which things go the way we want them to go. And having a kingdom is not a bad thing. In fact, having a kingdom keeps us safe. It protects us. And we can take our personal kingdoms and we can merge them with larger kingdoms to make families and communities and cities and nations. The problem is, when our personal and communal kingdoms turn inward and become self-centered and self-absorbed and sinful. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus tells us that his kingdom looks very different from our worldly kingdom. Because Jesus' kingdom is wherever God's will is done. Jesus' kingdom is where God reigns. In this space, God happens to be in control of everything. Now, throughout the Gospels, Jesus describes what this kingdom looks like, doesn't he? He says, "The kingdom of God is like a shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep to go find the one lost sheep. The kingdom of God is like a father who embraces and forgives his wayward son. The kingdom of God is like a shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. God's kingdom turns our worldly kingdom upside down and inside out. After all, the worldly kingdom tells us that victory is accomplished through power and might, not service and humility. The earthly kingdom values the strong, not the weak, the powerful, not the powerless. All this is to say, our kingdom and God's kingdom looks very different, doesn't it? And things in our worldly kingdom are not going so well. All we have to do is turn on the news, open the paper, go online, and we are overwhelmed by violence, hatred, polarization, political fighting, and the list goes on and on. But the good news is, Jesus has a plan. And this plan is found in the prayer he taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, Jesus says, here's my plan. I'm going to take God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, and I'm going to merge it with the worldly kingdom. Now, unfortunately, the gospel, the good news of Jesus for many people often gets truncated. It gets reduced to only what happens to us after we die. And so over the years, many Christians have found themselves praying a different kind of prayer. One that asks God to get them out of this messed up worldly kingdom into God's heavenly kingdom. But what we hear in the Lord's Prayer is very, very different. It's not about getting us out of here so we can finally go to heaven. Instead, it's about inviting heaven into this broken and hurting world. Now, perhaps some of you have seen that big billboard off of 288 and 59, which states, "Enjoy life now. There is no afterlife." Freedom from Religion Foundation. Now, when I first saw that sign, probably like some of you, my first reaction was to get angry, to get defensive. Well, of course, there is an afterlife. But in many ways, that organization and that sign is a reaction to the mentality that Christianity is only about the afterlife. But as we know, eternal life doesn't begin after death, but it starts here and now. So they actually got the first part of that sign right. Enjoy life now, because our eternal relationship with God through Christ begins today and it lasts forever. So it's not just about getting us into heaven after we die. It's about getting heaven into us here and now. So when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we are asking God to bring heaven, to bring God's kingdom, God's reign to our schools, to our places of work, to our families, to our neighborhoods, to our cities, and to our nations. And all of this starts with us and our little kingdoms. Now, this doesn't mean that it's up to us to save ourselves or to save the world. We are saved by grace alone through faith alone. And no human kingdom can redeem and transform this world. Only King Jesus can and will do that. As we read in the book of Revelation, the holy city, the new Jerusalem, is coming from heaven to earth, and God will dwell among his people. Or as the late Billy Graham once said, "I've read the last page of the Bible. It's all going to turn out all right." But if we choose, we can be part of God's kingdom right here, right now. Every time we listen to someone in need or reach out to someone who is lonely, the kingdom of God is breaking into our world. Every time we send a note to someone who is grieving or volunteer in an outreach ministry, the kingdom of God is breaking into our world. Every time we pray not only for those we love and care about, but for those with whom we disagree, those we don't like, maybe even those we despise. The kingdom of God is breaking into our world. Every time we view all people, despite their differences, despite their political views, their gender, or their race, as God's beloved children, the kingdom of God is breaking into this world. This is the good news. This is the gospel that we celebrate and rejoice on this Christ the King Sunday. Through Jesus, the kingdom of God is here. Life and the presence and power of God has come to us in Jesus, and we can be part of that right here and right now. So today, may we rejoice that Jesus was and is the King of heaven. May we celebrate the King who loves us, forgives us, reconciles us, and brings the kingdom of God to us. And today, may we boldly proclaim, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Amen.